Chapter 35. Now, nearly 40 years later, I sit here looking back on that evening with the chairman as the moment when all the grieving voices within me fell silent. Since the day I'd left Yoroido, I'd done nothing but worry that every turn of life's wheel would bring yet another obstacle into my path. And of course, it was the worrying and the struggle that had always made life so vividly real to me. When we fight upstream against a rocky undercurrent, every foothold takes on a kind of urgency. But life softened into something much more pleasant after the chairman became my Donna. I began to feel like a tree whose roots had at last broken into the rich, wet soil deep beneath the surface. I'd never before had occasion to think of myself as more fortunate than others, and yet now I was. Though I must say, I lived in that contented state a long while before I was finally able to look back and admit how desolate my life had once been. I'm sure I could never have told my story otherwise. I don't think any of us can speak frankly about pain until we are no longer enduring it. On the afternoon when the chairman and I drank sake together in a ceremony at the Ichiriki Tea House, something peculiar happened. I don't know why, but when I sipped from the smallest of the three cups we used, I let the sake wash over my tongue and a single drop of it spilled from the corner of my mouth. I was wearing a five-crested kimono of black with a dragon woven in gold and red encircling the hem up to my thighs. I recall watching the drop fall beneath my arm and roll down the black silk on my thigh until it came to a stop at the heavy silver threads of the dragon's teeth. I'm sure most geisha would call it a bad omen that I'd spilled sake, but to me that droplet of moisture that had slipped from me like a tear seemed almost to tell the story of my life. It fell through empty space with no control whatsoever over its destiny, rolled along a path of silk, and somehow came to rest there on the teeth of that dragon. I thought of the petals I'd thrown into the Kamo River shallows outside Mr. Arashino's workshop, imagining they might find their way to the chairman. It seemed to me that somehow, perhaps they had. In the foolish hopes that had been so dear to me since girlhood, I'd always imagined my life would be perfect if I ever came to be the chairman's mistress. It's a childish thought, and yet I'd carried it with me even as an adult. I ought to have known better. How many times already had I encountered the painful lesson that, although we may wish for the barb to be pulled from our flesh, it leaves behind a welt that doesn't heal. In banishing Nobu from my life forever, it wasn't just that I lost his friendship, I also ended up banishing myself from Gion.